Leanne La Havas, Green and Gold here on Talk Radio Europe. And I am joined now by Glenn Van Pesky. He's the author of Take Less, Do More, Surprising Life Lessons in Generosity, Gratitude and Curiosity from an Ultralight Backpacker. Hi, Glenn. How are you doing?
Hi, Anna. Doing great.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It says there that you are an ultralight backpacker, in quotes. What is that?
Well, backpackers typically talk about base pack weight, which is the weight of all your gear, except food and water, and what you're wearing. So, you know, your cook set, your tent, your sleeping bag, your sleeping pad, all that stuff, extra clothes, insulation. And so there are different categories, and depends on who you ask. But so when I go out, I've got just a little over 2 kilograms of base pack weight.
Okay. So when you're talking about the weight, you're talking about the weight of the backpack for you to go off hiking in, into the mountains or into wherever you're choosing to go.
Right. And you can go for as long as you want, because the only thing that changes is the amount of food and water.
Fantastic. And, you know, I'm having a little giggle to myself here planning this interview, because I'm packing for a little trip to the mountains straight after this show. I'm off in my car and I'm packed and ready to go. And I would be your worst nightmare to pack and go on an adventure with, I'm sure. I think you'd find me really stressful. My mindset is, well, I might as well bring it, because just in case I've got. So I'm going mountain biking and I have also packed nail varnish. Just in case. I don't know. I was just like looking at it like, oh, I really like this kind of nail varnish. Yeah, I want to bring that with me. I'm like, I'm never going to be too far away from the car. So if there's something that I want in there, then I can just come back for it. So I mean, does that make you feel really agitated hearing that?
No, that's okay. As long as I didn't have to carry your pack, that would be okay.
How did you get into the ultralight stuff? Do you get a real enjoyment out of minimalizing what you're packing and what you're taking with you? Is it like an enjoyment of packing in itself as an activity, or is it just to make your own life easier in the long run?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I am an engineer, so you know, I do like the challenge of trying to optimize things in life. I've learned my wife is not one that likes to be optimized. So, you know, that's off the table. But in terms of gear, yeah, I you know, you cracked me up when you're talking about packing for your trip. And it is more difficult when you have multiple activities that you're doing. But we're about to leave for Europe actually next week. You know, last trip we were there for 8 weeks and had everything from bike riding to kayaks to a night at the opera. And I was all in one little minute carry-on, you know, very carefully selected gear. So I got into the ultralight really when I was graduated high school. I rode across the United States. And so it was very important when you're going to be riding that amount of distance for that amount of time to minimize everything. And then when our oldest son got into Boy Scouts, we could see the boys struggling, you know, with huge packs. And so we started figuring out ways to lighten the loads.
And what are some of the best ways of doing that you could recommend to people?
Well, the first thing I recommend to people is that they weigh everything that they're packing. Like, you might be surprised how much that nail varnish weighs. And most people are surprised when they list all the things, how many different things there are. And so that's one area you can start, is looking for multiple use items, things that, you know, you can eat out of your cup and you can drink out of your cup. So you don't need a plate. You know, you can use a bandana for multiple things. And I'm sure you do this in your adventures. You know, you can use a buff or something like that for many different things. And then taking less stuff and taking the lightest stuff you can find, you know, lighter materials, titanium, some of the lighter fabrics, just finding lighter stuff.
And then the title of your book is Take Less, Do More. So we've been really focusing just now on taking less. How do you do that? Perhaps why you do that. But what does that mean in terms of doing more? What's the connection there?
Well, in terms of backpacking, you know, if you're working and you have limited time off, you know, if you're weighed down with a pack, and can only hike 5 or 6 kilometers a day, you know, that's going to limit what you can do on a long weekend. You know, if you can do 20 kilometers a day, or 30 or 40, because your pack is so light, well, then that opens up additional opportunities.
Right. So it's about carrying less so you can be more comfortable, you're less weighed down, but having some of those essential stuff with you. But it's not just about packing, your book, is it? There's a lot to it to do with mindset. You know, you talk about generosity, gratitude, curiosity. That seems to be a bit of a step away from how to pack your backpack. So could you tell us a bit more about the metaphorical side of the connections that you've noticed?
Sure. I noticed as I worked to lower my pack weight, I noticed that some of the things I was learning also applied to the rest of my life. And one thing that you're doing when you go packing with a really light weight is you're building margin into your life. So in the backcountry, this margin allows you to enjoy life more because you've got less on your pack. And it also allows you to help other people. If someone sprains an ankle, you can redistribute the weight if everyone's carrying only a couple kilos of gear. If everyone's carrying 20 kilos of gear, well, that's a different proposition. And so I'm a fan of creating margins of time, money, and energy in our lives so that we have a chance to be of service and help those around us.
Nice. And what do you get out of backpacking in that way as well? You know, do you like to just get out there and just walk and walk and walk for hours as opposed to sit and read a book and do a bit of that? And, are you trying to minimalize what you're actually doing when you're out backpacking? And tell me a little bit more, describe as well a little bit more about these adventures, the types of backpacking that you do. Set the scene for us a bit.
Yeah, so I don't sit well as a general rule. So generally, if it's light, I'm walking. I was just giving a talk at a store the other night, and my wife knows the expression, we're burning daylight. You know, it means like, it's light, we should be walking. And so that drives a lot of my gear choices. For me, if I'm moving all day, obviously a light pack makes a difference. You know, if you just want to go relax and sit by lake sometime, you might pack different things than I would pack. But for me, when I was working, I was working multiple jobs, many hours a week, and it was so nice to get into the wilderness just to get away from all that stuff. You don't have cell service. I don't listen to podcasts or anything. It's just time to let your brain kind of slip into that soft focus state and think about things or think about nothing. And, in our modern world, we have so little of that time. We're always, and when I was building my business and career, I was trying to eke every minute out of the day. And so I was always listening to, back then it was cassette tapes, when I was driving somewhere, on how to be a better engineer or better businessman or better negotiator, or better father or something. And so now, even when I'm walking around town, I like the silence. It's such a luxury to just be alone with your own thoughts, but it's something I think most people have a hard time with that. We want something to fill that noise. We don't want to be alone by ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. I think you've hit something that's very prevalent in modern society, and that need to go, go, go. And there you were, you're running business and still going on adventures and stuff. Would you find that you almost in that time needed some silence away from things to process all of that information that was going into your head, you're actually doing the work as well as learning everything that you were trying to? If you don't have some time to actually stop, think and breathe, it all can just become a jumble. So did you find that you actually sort of needed that time in order to do a better job in your job?
Yeah, no, I think the time away allows your brain to kind of process and relax. And that's where you can be creative, where you can you know, people can come to mind that, oh yeah, I should reach out to so-and-so, or I would often have ideas for, you know, business ideas like, oh yeah, we should start a newsletter. That would be great. Or gear ideas, you know, for the gear business, because along the way I accidentally started a gear company, Gossamer Gear. And so I think, oh yeah, I could do, yeah, that would work for a tent, or, you know, I could start making bikepacking gear or things like that. So it allows you to kind of have a chance to do some freewheeling creative thinking also.
Yeah, allowing that inspiration to actually come in and have its like bedding moment and to sit there. Yeah. Fantastic. And you also talk about living within one's financial means. Why did you feel like that had to be brought into your book?
That's something, and kind of gets back to margin. Okay. You know, if we're to really engage with people, I think we need to consciously and create margins of time, energy, and money. And I think they're all important. It's actually one of the things in the book that a lot of people have said made a difference to them is being intentional in their giving, creating their financial margin. So we started with, we just have a separate checking account, and you know, we call it a tithing account. People can call it a gratitude account or whatever. And we started small with a set percentage of every paycheck just goes into that account. And then, you know, when needs come across our path, we only need to decide, does this have our name on it? We have funds to address those needs. So, you know, we can write a $1,000 check to one of my wife's friends at work whose son died in prison and she didn't have money for a funeral. You know, we can write a $10,000 check to a business that's struggling with COVID, trying to keep key employees' heads above water. You know, we can make a difference in that because we've created that margin. And it also goes for time and energy. I don't know if I'm the only one to drive by someone on the side of the road and think, I wonder if I should stop and see if they're okay or they need any help. It's like, I got to get to the next appointment. You know, I don't have that time. I haven't built that margin of time in. And energy is another one. I, you know, when I was working two jobs, I would be trying to read our young boys' books at night, you know, the bedtime stories, and I would go to sleep and I'd start babbling. And, you know, my last memory for the night would be my son going, Mom, Dad's doing it again. He's talking about fire hydrants or something. I don't understand. It's not the book, you know? So yeah, creating time, money, and energy margins.
I get it. And you sort of touched on a philanthropic side, really, of your way of thinking, your way of living. And the profits of this book go towards the Pacific Crest Trail Association. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm not making any money from the book. I'm at a place in life where more money isn't going to make my life better. So I have a long association with the Pacific Crest Trail Association from hiking on the Pacific Crest Trail and serving on the board. A lot of connections there. So that that was actually one of the ideas that popped into my head on a hike. You know, I was like, yeah, that would be good. I could donate the proceeds to them.
And who are they? What do they do? You know, from someone on the other side of the water who doesn't even know what the Pacific Crest Trail is, what is it? What's it like? Why does it need an association? And why is what they do relevant, useful to you?
So the Pacific Crest Trail is one of the long national scenic trails here in the U.S. I don't know the kilometers. It's 2,750 miles. It's a long ways. It goes from Mexico to Canada through the mountains.
Okay, so bottom to top, top to bottom.
Yes, then nice. People do it both ways. And so there's a number of people every year that through hike it, you know, hike it from in one stretch, and a number of people do it in sections. And so the Pacific Crest Trail Association was formed to preserve, protect, and promote the trail. So they try and secure right-of-way to protect it. They organize volunteer, you know, trail maintenance. So they pursue grants from the government to fund maintenance of it. And then they promote it, trying to organize, you know, issue permits to hike on it and things like that.
And something like that, is it dangerous? Is it quite a remote thing to be doing, or is it quite sort of family friendly, as it were?
It's, you know, it's interesting. You talk about, is it dangerous? I mean, there's danger all around, and that's a whole topic. Like we have a generation that doesn't have a way to assess risk because they've been, you know, coddled and protected so much that they haven't been allowed to break bones and skin their knees. And so they think everything is dangerous. So I would say it's not dangerous. I mean, you know, you should know what you're doing, but you know, I'm amazed to see the people that finish it every year. It depends on how, it's one of those things, obviously fitness helps and it is most of it very remote. But there are other people doing it. You know, you can carry a GPS emergency alert thing with you if you feel you need to. And there's ways to check in as you pick up your resupplies of food and things like that. So I wouldn't consider it dangerous per se.
Okay, but it can be quite remote. And when you're talking about your ultralight backpacking as well, it sounds like it's something that you can do solo quite a lot. It's, you know, your time out, your time to process your thoughts and things like that. But you also are really interested in community, in connecting people and promoting that via your book as well. So how do you reconcile those two things?
Well, I think it's nice to have both. And we do a fair amount of hiking in Europe. Thanks to a friend of mine, we've done the Alp Adria Trail, most of it a couple times. And, you know, it's fun to, in modern society, you just don't get time to really connect with people that long. You know, you might meet them for lunch or coffee or something, but you catch up, but you don't really have a chance to get kind of beneath the surface, like what's really going on, talk about important things. And when you're walking all day, you have that time. And it's great to just have that conversation. I think there's probably through hikers that hike an entire long trail. So they're on the trail for 4 or 5 months at a time. And they'll often form like a trail family or tramily, they call it, you know, people that are kind of have your pace and general demeanor. I've talked to trail hikers and they say, you know, their trail family, they've told them things that no one else in the world knows about them, you know, cause you have that time, you build those relationships. And so it's nice to just have that time. I just got back from Buckskin Gulch. It's a slot canyon trip I do every year and invite different people from a list I have. And it's, you know, it's a chance to, for 3 or 4 days, you're just doing nothing but walking. And so you have time by yourself, but you also have time with other people to just get to know them.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, we're going to have to wrap it up there. But okay. People who are reading your book, you've obviously written it for a reason. What would you most like people to get out of it?
You know, it just depends on, it's going to be something different for everyone.
Okay.
I've not discovered anything magical, but I know that everyone hears things in different ways and at a time that's right for them. So it's my hope that the words I've chosen and the stories I've told and the timing of the book coincide for some people that will give them some hacks to get more purpose, joy, and meaning in their lives.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Glenn Van Teske. I've really enjoyed speaking to you today.
Thanks for the chance to talk.
Thank you. Okay, that was Glenn Van Teske and his book, Take Less, Do More, Surprising Life Lessons in Generosity, Gratitude and Curiosity from an Ultralight Backpacker, can be found on the Talk Radio Europe bookshop, or just give it a Google.
Talk Radio Europe.
T-R-E.
T-R-E.
T-R-E. Featured artist on Radio in Black and White is Libby Holman, regarded by some as the first great white torch singer. Join me at 9 o'clock Sunday morning here on TRE.
I taught each word he had a softball to